We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a pop quiz. This is your Bible question. We were talking in our last class period about Nadab and Abihu and how they offered a fire before Jehovah that God did not accept. In fact, the fire came and consumed Nadab and Abihu. Now, here is the Bible question for you today. What kind of fire did Nadab and Abihu offer, and why was that fire unacceptable? Do you have the question? What kind of fire did Nadab and Abihu offer the day they were consumed by the fire of Jehovah? And why was that fire not acceptable unto Jehovah? Well, we'll get to the answer to that in just a moment. In fact, I'm going to read it to you right out of the text. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's get to that Bible question. What kind of fire did Nadab and Abihu offer before Jehovah that he did not accept, and why was that fire not acceptable? The answer to that is found in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer, and put fire therein, and laid incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. What kind of fire was it? It was strange fire. And why was that not acceptable? Well, it's not what God commanded. Now, God did not say, do not use strange fire. They simply took it upon themselves to offer the fire they wanted. There was a holy fire they were to use, and the other fire was, well, as the New International Version calls it, it was unauthorized fire. They decided to choose their own fire instead of the fire that Jehovah had told them to use. That's what made it strange and unauthorized. And it wasn't that God told them not to do that. It simply was not the fire God commanded. You know, when God commands a certain thing, then that is the certain thing we are to do and not another. Now, if God had just generally said, use fire, I suppose they could have used any fire they pleased. But when God told them to use the holy fire, and they used the fire of their own choosing, then they sinned because they did something which he had not commanded them. We need to learn that today. When we come to worship Jehovah, we need to do and worship Christ and God. We need to worship him as he has commanded, as he has shown us in the New Testament. No, we don't offer sacrifices. They did that in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament does not tell us how to worship God in the church. We have a pattern for that worship in the New Testament. And in that New Testament pattern, we see that to worship God, they would gather together on the first day of the week. While they were gathered together, they would partake of the Lord's Supper through the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine. And they would pray together and sing together. And there would be a time for the teaching and attention to the Word of God in a time of preaching. And we also know that on the first day of the week, they would pool their resources and give as they had prospered from the heart, that the work of the Lord might prosper. Now, that's what we're to do today. A lot of people are not satisfied with that. They want to add their own things to the worship. In fact, some places you look at it, and they have turned the worship into a show. They get special singers to line up on the stage with their microphones, and they sing songs they have rehearsed, and there may be some lead singer that prances around the stage like a star gathering up the attention. And if that's not enough, they'll have drums and guitars and horns and a piano and organs, and they may blow smoke over the stage and have lights flashing. I heard one fella say when he got out of a worship like that it was like going to a rock concert. And I suppose it was. And there's a lot of people attracted to the show. But that's not worship. We worship God when we do as He is commanded, when we follow that simple New Testament pattern, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship Him from the heart, and we do what He has said, and that's how our worship is acceptable to God. But now let's get to the Sunday school lesson. We said we would get back to this verse. It's in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. Where it says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely." Let me read to you from Elam's notes. We read under the heading of walking in God's statutes, God's forbearance, mercy, and continued goodness are manifested in His efforts to teach the children of Israel the good and the right way, and in His solemn warnings against disobedience to Him, on account of the principles and the types of the good things to come which they contain, it is very profitable to study the laws given in Leviticus concerning the consecration and services of the priest, and the differences between the clean and the unclean, and the holy and the unholy, and of obedience and disobedience. Holiness belongs to God. Holiness unto Jehovah must be inscribed upon all His work and upon all things used in His service. The spirit of holiness must pervade the whole church of God today. The spiritual temple of God is holy. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. And that is His church. Children of God must be partakers of His holiness, and must follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification or holiness without which no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 10 and 14. Christians should be holy and without blemish before Christ in love. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Colossians 1, 22. They have been called with a heavenly and a holy calling. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. And are themselves called holy brethren and a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. They're commanded to be holy in 1 Peter 1, 15. And to pursue a course of all holy living and godliness. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Their very bodies are to be presented to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is their spiritual service. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. How far short of this does the church fall in most places? Respect for the Word of God, reverence for Him, and holiness to the Lord do not characterize the lives of many church members and the worship of many congregations. This grievous lack of reverence and godly living springs from a lack of respect for the Word of God. Now, God has blessings for His people, and it is God's joy to bless man. But his blessings often are conditional. One very important consideration is the blessings were conditional. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, were the conditions. The conditions were oft repeated. They could not be misunderstood. They could be complied with or not. They could not be changed. Nothing could be added to them, and nothing could be subtracted from them. When they were repeated 40 years after this lesson, God said, "And now, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you, to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which Jehovah the God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God which I command you." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Note the reason given why they must not add anything to the word of God or take anything from it, namely, that ye may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God. Should they add anything of their own wisdom to the word of God and keep that in addition? Nothing they did would be obedience to God, because they would be placing their wisdom above God's wisdom. And that which they did of God's commandments would not be obedience to Him, but obedience to the dictates of their own judgment. Because they would be doing that which God says only insofar as their wisdom approved of what He says. The same would be true should they take anything from the commandments of God. For this reason it is said, "The secret things belong to Jehovah our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Deuteronomy 29:29. No man, however great his learning or deep his piety, can know the secret things of God. Let all be forever impressed with the fact that the things which have been revealed have been made known for the express purpose that we may do all the words of God. That is, that we may obey God. Again, it is seen that this is the test. He who seeks after the secret things which belong to God and is not comforted with the things which God has revealed has not purposed in his heart to implicitly obey God, but is seeking to appear wiser than God. He is seeking to know and to appear and to teach that which man cannot know. This principle is eternally true. Hence it is emphasized in the New Testament. The issue is between obedience and disobedience to God. The reason God forbids the addition of anything to a subtraction of anything from what He commands is that all may learn obedience to Him. Obedience to Him is the supreme lesson He has sought and is still seeking to teach the human race. The very act of adding anything to or taking anything from the Word of God is disobedience. But it is more. It is the greatest sin man can commit against God, because it is presumptuous sin. It is rebellion. The exaltation of man's wisdom above God's wisdom, adding some things or taking some things away from the Word of God, is the mystery of lawlessness mentioned by Paul, and which some have developed into the man of sin, or the lawless one, described in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. Any man who presumes to add to or take from the Word of God in the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, the church of God, the work and worship, and the pure Christian life of that church, is, to say the least of it, the beginning of the exaltation of oneself against all that is called God or is worshipped, and to set oneself forth as God. We'll continue this in our next class.